God is good. Yes, and all the time? Man, I tell you what, when I look out there and I see that parking lot this full, if you would have said 2 years ago, in 2 years' time, our parking lot would be that full, there would be that many people here on a Sunday morning, we would have said you're a liar. God is doing amazing things in this church. As we grow closer to Him, He is blessing this church, and it's only because we are growing closer to Him and closer to Him and closer to Him, and because of that, He is blessing us. Well, I just want to say good morning. If you are a guest here this morning, my name is Pastor Josh. We are so pleased to see each and every one of you here. If you are a first-time guest or a returning guest or whatever, we just want to say how honored we are that you have chosen to come here and worship and learn about God with us. Why don't you take a few minutes this morning, say hi to someone you haven't said to. If there's someone you don't know, go up and introduce yourself and get their name and tell them how glad you are that they're here today. All right, if you want to find your way back to your seats, I have just a couple of quick announcements. So November 2nd, we're going to have a special thing here at 7 p.m. It's going to be a praise and prayer and worship night. There will be no agenda here. There will be no message that night. It will just be a time to worship God and to seek Him in prayer. This will go until the last person leaves. We're going to start at 7, and we're just going to go to the last person decides to leave. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead us that night as we praise God and seek Him in prayer. So you're all welcome to come that night and join us. November 2nd, I will be putting stuff out on Facebook too, and it'll be up on our website as well. Yep. The worship part will end at a certain time, but the prayer will continue on.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Youth group 6:30 to 7:30 will be meeting here. We're having a great time with the kids. We enjoy it. Unshakable Women's Conference. Ember, can you raise your hand? If you have any questions about Unshakable, please talk to Ember. I would like to see 90% of our women go to this plus five. So I want 90% of the women here going there plus five people from outside this church going to this event. That is my goal. Escape room, men, we need to figure out a date for that. Bible study is at Kevin and Sandy's, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8. If your kids are in youth group, just drop them off here. When we are done, we will take your kids up to Kevin and Sandy's and drop them off. So you don't have to worry about coming back to grab your kids. For those of you who haven't gone, this Bible study is very laid back. You literally are reading through a half a chapter to a chapter, talking about what sticks out to you, how you're going to change your life. So it's not meant to be structured. It's meant to encourage discussion so people can sharpen each other. We will be having a benefit meal here Friday night for Libby Peterson Wallace. For those of you who don't know Libby, she is Deputy Eric Peterson. He's the canine guy for Taylor County. It's his sister. It is my aunt on my wife's side of the family. She's been diagnosed with a very, very rare form of cancer. So lots of prizes, silent auction. It's going to be a great night. Unfortunately, I won't be here.
Is that why it's a great
night? I'm going to get you back for that one. I'm at class. Bunch of dates coming up. Next week, we'll be having our final backyard barbecue out at the Zuligers. We don't have a sign-up sheet, so just bring a dish to pass. So you can see what's coming up there. I'm going to send this around one more time. If your children want to be in the parade, the Harvest Day Parade. We're going to do superheroes and supervillains. And if you're going to help, we need people to make buildings for the float. So if you're not sure what we're doing, we're going to make a cityscape. And so we would like each family, if possible, to make a building to go on our float for the city. And if you have more questions about the float, talk to Sandy. Ethan, you need to talk to Sandy after service and tell her the dimensions of the trailer we're using. Okay, well, you need to go talk to her after the service. So I'm going to start passing this around. If you're an adult and you want to dress up as a superhero or a supervillain, you're more than welcome to. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to, like I said, I just want to share the vision I have one more time with this. Is it comes down to when there is darkness, you can shine a light into that darkness, or you can just rebuke it. We are called to be salt and light, and we're going to be salt and light to this community. We are part of Medford. And we're going to join in, and we're going to share the light of Jesus with them. Everyone there will hear the gospel in a short, succinct way. And the very back of the float, the last thing they're going to see is a sign that says, Jesus is the only real superhero, and you can meet him at River of Hope. So we're looking forward to this as we continue to share the light of Jesus with this community. We love this city. We love this city. We love the people of this city. We want to reach these people with the gospel of Christ. Because I can't guarantee a lot of things in this life. This is one thing I can guarantee. Everyone's going to die. And they're going to stand before God. And if they're going to go to hell, I want them going to hell with me dragging them back as much as I can and sharing the gospel as often as I can. I literally want people, if they're going to end up in hell, I want them going there over my dead body. So that is why we're doing this, is so we can share the truth that sets all men free. So if you guys don't know me, there's one thing I like to do, and that's talk. And so this may come as a shock to some of you, but I'm actually leaving Monday morning to go to Wapaka, and I'm going to be there till Wednesday afternoonish. I have to leave a little bit early to get back for work. And I'm not allowed to talk the whole time I'm down there. This is a silent prayer retreat, so I'm not allowed to talk. I'm not allowed to take my cell phone. I'm not allowed to take any books but my Bible. So I look forward to this because it's going to remove all distractions away, and I'm just going to seek God and get vision for the next you know, year, 2, 10 years, hopefully. But it's going to be definitely a challenge for me not to talk for 3 days. So on my outgoing message, I will leave my wife's voicemail. If there is an emergency, you can write down the number, call my wife. She'll then call the camp, and the camp will come grab me. But so I look forward to that. I appreciate you guys giving me this time to get away. The district was kind enough to sponsor me to go down there. So it's going to be no cost. So that's always a good thing. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm very nervous because not talking does not come easy to me. I'm making up for all the years I was shy, I guess. But so we're starting off a new series the next 4 weeks. Today we start off. It's called When Pigs Fly. How many of you in here have heard that expression? That'll happen when pigs fly. There's a show. It's still on. It's a cartoon show. It's centered around a fictional city. If you know the capital of Illinois, that's what the city's called. The characters are all yellow in color. Are you following me here? Do you know what series I'm talking about? They're all yellow in color. It's a family. All right. So years ago, there's the main like evil character is this rich guy, and they're like, "Hey, this charity wants you to donate," and he's like, "Well, I'll do that when pigs fly." Well, unbeknownst to him, a pig was caught in a dam. He got wedged in the hole, and the water was pressing up against him, and all of a sudden the water got too much, and boom, he looked out a window, and a pig came flying through his window. And the assistant's like, "So, are we giving to the charity?" He's like, "No." But So when pigs fly, what we're looking at is miracles. And so this week is preparing. Next week is expecting. Third week is what we do after what we do after a miracle occurs. And then the final week is, we're calling it Miracle Sunday. So I got the idea for this off of a church website. It said, when pigs fly. I was like, oh, that's kind of awesome. And then God led me to make it my own thing. So we are going to prepare for a miracle. And here's the questions we need to answer. First is, we need to know what a miracle is. So the first question is, what is a miracle? The second question is God still in the business of doing miracles, right? If miracles were for then and not for now, well, there's no point preparing for them. Third question is, how do I prepare for miracles? What are the results of my actions? And will I prepare for God to perform miracles in my life? So the first question, what is a miracle? A miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. That's according to Webster's. So what does that mean? This is what it means. This is when God directly shows his power with acts that science cannot explain. I'm going to give you an example of this. A few years back, I was driving my car. I pulled out onto a county road. I did not see the car that was coming, and I got T-boned, right? Lost consciousness. When I came to, my feet were up on the dash. My car frame bent all the way to the brake pedal. They had to cut me out of the car because it was bad. And they radioed in. They said, hey, we got a car accident coming in. The guy was T-boned. We're looking at crushed bones. Get ready. So they get me there. They do a CAT scan. They are shocked. They're like, you have no broken bones whatsoever. We cannot explain how that happened. This is what I said the whole time. Wait, once I gained enough consciousness in the ambulance and at the hospital, this is what I said the whole time. I said, that's because my God just saved me from that. A miracle is when God shows his power through events that non-believers will call a coincidence. Well, that was just a coincidence. Oh, you got lucky. No. God intervened. Going to give you another example. My brother-in-law was a big Harley guy, right? One night he was coming back from some truck pulls in Toma, and a deer ran out and hit him. Now, how many of you know if you hit a deer on a bike, chances are you're going to die? That's how it is. Well, the deer hit him. He managed to keep the bike up and kept riding. He got into Pittsville, got off his bike, and he said, wow, my leg is really hurting. I better go to the hospital. So he drove to Marshfield. How many of you have been to the Marshfield Hospital? Raise your hand. Okay, so the hospital is down here, right? Now the new emergency room's up here. So he got off his bike at the hospital doors, and they were locked. He went to get back on his bike. His leg was hurting so much, he couldn't get on his bike. So he sat there by the doors waiting for help to come. Nobody came. He then crawled from those doors up to the emergency room and through the emergency room doors. They took one look at him. He said, I hit a deer with my bike. And they said, how are you not dead? They rushed him in. Here when the deer hit him, his leg swelled up so bad it was cutting off circulation to his leg. And they had to rush him into emergency surgery and slice his leg open on each side to get the pressure off. My sister called me that next morning. She's like, Rod hit a deer last night with his bike. And I thought the next words out of her mouth were going to be, and here are the funeral arrangements. And she said, but he's okay. That's not a coincidence. That's not luck. That was the power of God intervening in my brother-in-law's life to save him. So, is God still in the business of miracles? I say yes. The Bible tells us that God does not change. Amen? So Numbers, Hebrews, James, they all tell us this. They all tell us that God does not change. The God who he is, he will not change. Can we all agree on that? Okay, so we're all agreeing on this point. Our God has not changed. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, he's still the same God. All right? God has performed countless miracles. We all in agreement on that? He parted the Red Sea. He brought down the plagues. He provided manna. We're going to get into this. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. So if God has not changed, then the only logical answer is yes, God is still in the business of miracles. Agreed? All right. So if God is still performing miracles today, if God is still working today, then how do we prepare? All right. Our main text comes from 2 Kings. Who knows the story of Naaman? I'm impressed. This is very obscure. The only reason I know this is because I had to read a book about it in high school. So Naaman was a commander in the 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. I should have it up here. If you want to look it up in your own Bibles, 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. How many of you in here know what leprosy is? Leprosy is a wonderful disease if you ever get it. Your skin gets white and flaky. Your fingers and toes start falling off. It's a horrible, horrible disease. But it was very common in these times. People get leprosy. And basically, you couldn't be near these persons unless the wind was blowing the right way. You basically became an outcast. It was a horrible, horrible disease. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter they took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant to you so that you may cure him of leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand above the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and..." Seriously. "Far, far are the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Something you need to understand about the Jordan River, and this is going to come in next week too. So above the Jordan River was Samaria. And the Samaritans were not the cleanliest people in the world. And when they had to use the restroom, they just went and did it in the Jordan River. So the Jordan River was gross and disgusting. Yeah. And this is the river he's got to go dunk himself in 7 times. So now do you understand why he's so mad? All right. But Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God told him. And his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. So I forgot a step in here. So the first step, we're going to call this step 1A. Zeke, I need you a minute. Zeke and I, we're going to have a little contest here. We're going to see who can assemble and turn on their flashlight first. Zeke, you get the blue flashlight. All right? Would you just wait? All right. So on go, you're not allowed to mess with the batteries. So on go, we're going to put our batteries in, get the flashlight so you can turn the flashlight on. You ready? All right, ready? Go. Thanks. You can go have a seat. So, the flashlight, the body of the flashlight, that's us, right? The batteries inside the flashlight is the Holy Spirit. And Zeke saw it. I put tape over the contacts. So what happened? That tape caused it so there couldn't be, a connection couldn't be made, right? Think about it this way. Have you ever gone out to try to start your car? The car won't start, so you pop open the hood and your battery terminals are completely corroded. Well, that causes the connection not to be made, right? So here's what happens. Here's the first step. If you want to see a miracle, the first step is get rid of the sin in your life that's corroding your connection to God. Right? I want to tell a hard truth right now. If you want God to bless your life, if you want God to show up in your life, you cannot be living in sin. Now, I'm not talking about these little sins that we all have. We all wake up, we all sin every day. I'm talking if you are purposely walking in something you know is wrong, you cannot expect God to bless you. That's not going to happen. But watch what happens if we remove the sin out of our life. We remove it out. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Because the sin is gone of our life, the Holy Spirit can now make a connection. Now miracles can happen. Because we're in a position. So that's step 1A. All right, so I'll get there. Hold on, I am. So, what's the next step? Well, first one is, how about you admit you have a problem? Right? You want God to work a miracle in your life? The first thing you got to say is, God, I have a problem I can't solve. Alexa, can I use you as an example? Alexa, for those of you who don't know, a couple years ago, Alexa stepped funny and broke her knee. Yes? That's what you did? Yeah, well, all right. Now, Alexa said, I need a miracle here because I don't want to go have surgery. See, she admitted she had a problem. She said, God, I need this. I can't do this on my own. So we prayed for Alexa. God did not heal her immediately. She had to have the surgery. But I didn't hear about this till a lot later. When the surgeon was done, he said, you're probably never going to be able to walk right again, right? Something along those lines? Just run. Okay. He said, you're never going to run again. Alexa, how many 5Ks have you done since you broke your knee? 7. Yeah. Surgeon told her, you're never going to be able to run again. God stepped in and healed her. She's done 7 5Ks and counting. She admitted she had a problem. If you don't have a problem, you don't need God, right? Naaman said, I have a problem. I have leprosy. And here's the other thing he did. He didn't deny it. He didn't blame others. He didn't say, I have leprosy because someone did this to me. I have leprosy because, how often do we do that? Well, you know, it's okay if I do this because my opponent's doing this. Now, you need to admit you have a problem. Admit that, yeah, this happened. I'm not going to blame someone. I'm not going to say, well, yeah, I pulled out in front of that car, but he should have stopped. So step two is you need to be willing to take action. Now think about the time that this was going on. Back in that time, women were considered, how can I say this nicely? They were considered less than. So here is a commander of the army, and what's the first thing he does? He takes advice from a woman, and not just any woman, but a slave. They say servant, but obviously she was taken as a slave. He then sought permission to leave the country. He was willing to do something. So first he took advice from a woman. Then he got permission to leave the country. And then he took his request all the way to the king. If you're sitting there and you're like, God, I need a miracle right now. Are you preparing? Have you removed sin from your life? Have you admitted you need a problem? And who are you taking your request to? Are you taking it to the king? That's the great part about Jesus dying on the cross for us. When he ripped that veil in two, we can go before the king and take our request to him. So why aren't you taking your request to him? Why aren't you willing to take action? Step three. Be willing to sacrifice. In order for a miracle to occur in your life, you might have to give something up. Are you ready to do that? You want to see people come to Christ? It's not going to happen sitting here. You want to see that miracle? That's not going to happen sitting here. You might have to sacrifice your time. You might have to sacrifice the fact that you're shy. You might actually have to go out and talk to people. Now, for me, that's really easy because I never shut up. But I know for some of you, like, that was the hardest thing in the world. You want me to go tell people stuff? Seriously, you go with me anywhere, I will talk to complete strangers. I've done it. I get in too long of a line, I'm going to turn around and talk to the person behind me and tell them about Jesus. It's going to happen. So Naaman had to travel. He had to give up his pride, right? Remember, he got there and he was expecting Elisha to wave his hands over him and say, be healed. And Elijah's like, ha, 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 no, you want to be cleansed. Guess what? Go down to the dirtiest river we have and dunk yourself in it 7 times. That'd be like telling someone, hey, okay, so those of you who know Medford, on O, like across from Tombstone Pizza, you know those ponds? You know those ponds that smell so wonderful? Well, imagine you had a horrible disease and the prophet of God said, hey, go down there and dunk yourself under the water 7 times. That's what he was told to do. But what did Naaman do? Did Naaman say no? Oh, first he did. He's like, yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. But then he said, I'm going to go do it. He sacrificed. And when the sacrifice was made, the miracle occurred. Who remembers the miracle of the loaves and fishes? Right? There was at least 5,000 people, because they said it was 5,000 men. So that wasn't counting the women and children. Now, Jesus being God, he could have just made food just magic, not magically, pardon me, miraculously appear, right? Because he has the power of God. What did he do instead? He said, go through the crowd and bring up what they have. So in order for that miracle to occur, people had to give up what they had. Right? If you want that miracle in your life, you may have to give up something for it. I want to take this to a personal level. When God called me out of children's ministry into lead ministry, I said to my wife, I said, you don't understand. If I don't get this job in Medford, where are we going to go? She's like, well, I am not moving. And this created a fight between us. And then finally, out of the blue, she calls me up one day and she says, you know what? We are obviously called out of children's ministry. We're called into a lead pastorship. Go ahead, apply anywhere you want, and I will move. And when she said that, you know what God said to me? He said, Medford's now yours because your wife is willing to sacrifice and give up her comfort. I will give you Medford. Miracles require sacrifice. When God called me into the lead pastor position, I said, I'm going to stay in children's ministry until I have a place to land. And he said, nope, that's not how this works. You want to see my work in your life, you either trust me or you don't. You trust me, when you step out, there will be a place to land. So how do I prepare for miracles? Step 4. We talked about this all in our last series about the power of the Holy Spirit is you need to allow God to use you for his glory. So I believe that one of the spiritual gifts we are given is some people are given an extra gift of healing. Right? If God gives you a gift of healing, he's not giving it to you so you can make yourself rich and famous. He's giving you that gift so you can bring glory and honor to him. Does that make sense? If you want to see miracles, you need to allow God to use you for his glory, not your own. The second you say, this is all about me, or I'm going to use this for myself, God is going to stop working through you. Because he wants to bring glory to himself, not to you. You need to walk humbly. I heard this a great thing. Being humble does not mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less often. Being humble does not mean thinking, oh, I'm just a lowly piece of dirt down here and always thinking about that. Being humble means thinking about others ahead of yourself and about God ahead of yourself. God will use you for his glory. To order to give him glory, we need to be humble. You want to see miracles? Seek after God. It comes back to this. Are you in your Bible? Are you reading? Are you praying? If the only scripture you get is a little bit of scripture I use in my sermons on Sunday mornings, you are way wrong. You need to be in your word. You need to be praying. Pray. Be talking with God. You know, God, the God who spoke this universe into being, the God who is causing it to snow right now, he wants you to talk with him every single day. That's all prayer is. That's all prayer is. It's just simply talking with God. Talk with God like you talk to your husband. Or on second thought, no, don't talk to God like that. Talk to God like you talk to your best friend. Talk to him about what you're going through. Praise him for what he has done. I saw this on Facebook. What if you woke up tomorrow and the only thing you had is what you thank God for today? Yeah, kind of blew my mind. I'm like, well, I would have. Yeah, I need to be thanking God more. Pray. Be talking with this God. And the biggest thing is believe in the God of miracles. I've said this before. I'll use this as an example. This is a box. We tend to think that God not only exists in this box, that the God of the Old Testament was the God of the Old Testament. Acts was just for their time. That the God of miracles, God doesn't want to do miracles anymore. I say, that's wrong. We've shown biblically, God does not change. So if God does not change and God was working miracles then, why isn't he working miracles now? It's because somewhere along the way, we stopped believing. If you remember when Israel was heading into the promised land, God said, as long as you remember who brought you here, I will bless you. But he said, when the time comes and you look around and you say, look what my hand has done, if you forget me, I will forget you. Here's the problem with America. We are a great country. I will fight anyone who says differently. Yes, America has a lot of issues. Yes, there's a lot of things we could fix, but we're still a great country. But we have too much. Right? Do you have to rely on God each and every day for your food? If you say you are a Christian, are you in danger of being killed or beaten up? If being baptized means your family will disown you, that doesn't happen in America. You know where that does happen? Countries like India. You know what's happening in India right now? The book of Acts is being played out in India right now because those people wake up every day relying solely on God. They are walking into houses where people are sick and praying to their false gods. You know what they say to them? I see your gods aren't listening. Maybe if you yell a little louder, maybe he's asleep. And they say, how about we pray over you to the real God? They are laying hands on people and seeing people being healed and coming to know Christ. But guess what happens when those people come to know Christ? They go down and they be baptized. Their families disown them. There are pastors over there being imprisoned and beaten and killed because they have the audacity to convert people to Christianity. Because all they have is God. God is working miracles because they believe it'll happen. They got together, a bunch of pastors got together. They don't even have real Bibles. They have paper. They have bound together. They don't have, I say real Bibles, I mean fancy Bibles like we have. And they were outside and it started to rain. And it was raining on their papers. And they prayed that God would keep them dry. Did God stop the rain? It'd be awesome if God stopped the rain, but he did something even greater. You know what he did? The rain kept coming, except where they were sitting, it stopped. They were sitting in dry ground while the rain around them fell. And as soon as they were done and they had their pages put away, the rain fell back on them. We serve a God of miracles yet, but some reason we decide that that doesn't exist anymore. So what are the results of my actions? Well, if you're preparing, you'll be in a position to see and be changed by miracles. Right now, John Zuliger and Jamie, were you out there? and Paul was out there. I think Josh is still out there. They're putting up a shed. And when I mean shed, I mean shed. Okay, I thought we said we're putting up a shed. I thought it was like, you know, like a single car garage type of thing. This thing's massive. But before they started putting that building up, you know what John did? He went in and he prepared the ground. He cut down trees and had trees fall on them. Did they put cement down? They put cement down. So that means that before they did that, they had to level it all out. The compactor. They had to bring a compactor in. I think Alexa's wearing off on me. They had to bring a... But he knew what it was, so there. They had to compact that ground. You have to lay in rebar, right? Rebar? They have to prepare all of this. So they were prepared. When they were prepared, the structure could go up. So if you are prepared, you'll be in a position to see and be changed by miracles. If we are prepared, we will see people healed, and we will see mountains moved. If you're saying, well, that, how can you be so sure? Because right now in Managua, they're experiencing the same thing we are, but they're a little bit ahead of us. We're getting there. They're just a little bit ahead of us. You know, they are seeing people healed of cancer. People are coming in with cancer, being prayed over, going back to the doctor, and that cancer is gone. You want to see that? God wants to do it. He tells us, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you'll tell this mountain, mountain be moved, and it will move. You want to see mountains moved? Prepare. People will realize God is real. When the Israelites left Egypt, God could have sent them a different way. You know that, right? He didn't have to take them to the Red Sea. You know why God took them to the Red Sea? Because God wanted to show them who they were following. He wanted to show them how powerful he was. And he wanted to show Egypt once and for all who the real God was. When he parted the waters and they walked through on dry land, do you think anybody there doubted who God was? How quickly they forget, though. We're going to talk about that next week. How quickly they forgot who the God was. The awakening is coming. The awakening is coming. People want to know God is real. They're going to come to churches they haven't come to before because they want to know if God is real and they have not experienced it in churches where he's not. If we're prepared, faith will grow. Our walk will grow. This church will grow. God has promised us that growth is coming. When Pastor Jesse said he was leaving, this is what God told us. He said, change is coming before Pastor Jesse left, but behind this change is growth. It has been prophesied over this church, growth. That prophecy was reconfirmed a couple weeks ago, growth. Someday soon, I'm going to show you the numbers. I'm going to show you the growth of this church in numbers. But more importantly, I have seen the growth of individuals in this church. I have seen little baby Christians become so mature. I have seen brothers who couldn't stand being in the same room with each other, hugging each other. I have seen marriages saved. I have seen people come to Christ. I have seen people who wanted nothing to do with God come up with some of the best ideas I've ever heard about how to reach people for God. But we're at a tipping point right now. We're at a tipping point. Are we going to allow God to work through us for his glory? Or not? Not preparing. If we're not preparing, we'll not be in the position to see and be changed by miracles. I am not saying miracles won't happen, because we serve a God. Remember, God hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could show Pharaoh who he was. Remember? God can work through unbelievers, and he can work through people who aren't willing. God could have made this flashlight turn on even with it rigged not to. The chances of seeing miracles grow slimmer if we are not preparing for miracles. God uses miracles all the time to show people he is real. People are going to have a harder time accepting God is real. Our faith will grow, but it's going to grow slowly. Man, there's just something about when you see a miracle happen before your eyes. I'm going to share a story real quick to emphasize this. One of the biggest miracles that ever occurs is when you are saved. You're like, oh, that's a miracle? You go from being destined to hell to being an heir of the king, an adopted child of God. That is the biggest miracle ever. I want to tell you a quick story. A husband who was a drunk and a drug user came to know God. He was separated from his wife. He came to know God. God said, you are not loving your wife right. He started loving his wife the way Christ loved the church. They got back together. His wife was a drunk. His wife said to him one day, she said, I don't know what got into you, but I want it too. And he sat down, he explained to her, Jesus Christ. She got saved. She gave up the booze. His three kids came to know Christ from his example. His wife and his daughter now lead mission trips to Africa. His daughter, who has epilepsy, God gives her a space of time where she has no seizures so she can go to Africa and come back. That's what we're talking about. That is what God can do. You talk about faith growing. When you see that, your faith grows because you're like, I want that. When someone says to you, I don't know what you have, but I want this. Our faith will grow, but slowly. Our walk will grow, but slowly. The church will grow, but slowly. It all comes down to being right with God, being prepared, being changed. I'm not saying we have to be perfect. Boy, if anybody you reaches perfection, let me know, because I am still struggling in so many areas, in so many areas. You have no idea. I try every day, and every day I mess up. Some days are better than others, but by the grace of God, he picks me up and just keeps going. How does that song go? 1,000 times I fell, but your mercy still remains? Yeah. Yeah, man. I live that out every single day. I try so hard. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So here's the question. Final question. I can't answer this one. Only you can. This is my sermons will always end this way. I decided that formulaic sermons are just fine. So the question for you is, will you prepare? Will you prepare for God to work a miracle through you? Will you prepare for a miracle in your life? Get rid of the sin. Be willing to sacrifice. Be seeking God. Walk humbly. man, you do that, God's going to work miracles. We're going to close in prayer here in just a minute, but as always, if you need extra prayer for anything, you can stay in the sanctuary. If you want to be prayed over, I will anoint you with oil and I will pray over you. The term that keeps coming to mind, Pastor Aaron used this, is microwave minute. We want to microwave everything. God is telling you something right now. Don't try to microwave it. Seek after him right now. If he's working on you, spend time looking after him. Take as much time as you need. Take as little time as you need. When you feel God is done with you this morning, you are free to leave. If you need more time, this sanctuary is always open. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you for everything. As hard as it is to say, we're even thankful for the snow. God, I pray that these words would sink in, that we would prepare for a miracle. That we would sacrifice and walk humbly, God. Lord, I pray for everyone here as we get ready to head back out. I pray especially for safety for the men who are going to go back out and help John at the shed, Lord. I pray for safety over them. Lord, I pray most of all, though, if there are men there who have not heard about you, that you would give the courage of one of the men to speak up and share the gospel. That we could claim a miracle this morning as someone there comes to know you, and that they are born again into your kingdom, an adopted child of God. Lord, I pray you keep us all safe through this next week. I pray blessings over this church and over this family here, God. You bring us all back again next week so we could worship more with you and learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You sure can.
That I was a sinner. Because a lot of people
Praise God. I just want to highlight something Sister Sally said. They said, do you want to be resuscitated if something bad happens? She said, no, I know Jesus. That is testifying to the power of God right there. And what she just did, what did she just say? I give all credit to God. She didn't stand up to testify for her own glory. She stood up to testify to give glory back to God. Amen? Thank you. If you feel God is done with you, you are free to go. If you need more prayer, come forward or just stay where you are. Thank you all.
This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.